Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. This is day number 131 of our three-year journey through God's Word, and it brings us to Romans chapter 4. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the goodness of your Word, for the truth that sets us free in Jesus, who is our salvation, our righteousness, and our peace with you. Father, write your word on our hearts today and strengthen our faith in Christ, we pray in his name. Amen. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That's Romans chapter 4 in the ESV. So, Paul has been unfolding this case of the gospel. And we have to go back to chapter 3 to pick up what he's been talking about. Some people believed that the way to be justified was through works of the law. That is, you get circumcised, you keep the dietary laws, you do the things that God has required, that plus believing in Jesus as the crucified and risen Messiah would bring you justification before God. But Paul had said in chapter 3, verse 20, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So he had already made it very clear in chapter 3, it's not the works of the law that justify us, but it's only the righteousness of God that comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believed. And then he says, well, wait a minute, does that mean we're overthrowing the law? No, actually, we are upholding the law. But the law, as a covenant seal that points us to Christ, not the law as a means of righteousness. And to prove this, he points to two great figures from the Old Testament age. One is Abraham and one is David. Abraham's the primary focus, so he's the primary example of what righteousness, justification looks like. And he brings in David as a collaborating, corroborating witness. So David comes in as a corroborating witness to what God told Abraham. And what we're told about Abraham is that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God's promises more than what his eyes could see. He had a bold and a confident faith in the promises of God and not a trust in his works. And when he believed and it was counted to him as righteousness, he had not yet been circumcised. So it wasn't the circumcision, it wasn't any of the works of the law, most of which wouldn't come until Moses, you know, almost 500 years after Abraham. But he's given this justification by faith because he trusts in God and his promises before he's circumcised. David also, he writes almost 500 years after the law is given, and he says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. David doesn't say, blessed are those who've kept the law, because the fact is no one can keep the law except for Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law. But for us, it's the lawless deeds that are forgiven. It's the sins that are covered. And of course, now we know how that's possible on this side of the cross, because they're covered by the blood of Jesus, because they're forgiven because Jesus took the penalty upon himself as our propitiation, that big word that Paul had used in chapter 3. And so this blessing, the blessing of being justified by faith, the blessing of having your sins forgiven, is that blessing only for the circumcised, only for the Jews, only for the observant law keepers? No, because Abraham was counted as righteous before he had been circumcised, so that he is counted as the father of the faithful. It's the Abrahamic covenant, we could say this, it's the Abrahamic covenant that was fulfilled by Jesus and extended to the world. Remember when God called Abraham, he said, I'm going to call you, I'm going to make you a great nation, I'm going to make your name great, I'm going to bless you so that through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then later in Genesis 22, it said, through your offspring, through Isaac, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham is the father of the faithful. He's the father of blessing because of the covenant promise God made with him, a covenant promise that is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. And so Paul draws out this contrast. You can either depend on faith in the promise of God, resting on grace, undeserved favor and kindness, or you can strive to be an adherent of the law and hope in your obedience so that you can be justified before God. You can't do both. You can't say, oh, it's God's grace, and it's my faith, and it's the promise of God, and it's my obedience to the law. These together are the foundation of my justification. You cannot do that. That is invalid. Paul says it explicitly here. You cannot rely on the law, on your obedience, on your good works, as a ground for your justification if you are going to be trusting in the promise of God, if you are going to be trusting in Jesus Christ. So, it was counted to him, final verses, verse 23 and 24. The words that was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ, that he was delivered up for our trespasses, that he was raised again for our justification, and then you're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, no boasting, all to him I owe. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus, our Savior, our all-sufficient Savior, whose righteousness and atonement for us is perfect and complete. Help us to rest, not in our own good works, but only in the finished work and perfect righteousness and victorious resurrection of Jesus our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, that's Romans chapter 4. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we will be back in the book of Exodus. Exodus 35 and 36 are on tap next. So I hope you can be with us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.